Have you ever been through something where you walked away thinking, why did I just go through that? That made no sense at all. Have you ever gone through something like that? It might be ridiculous, but I remember growing up, I had a job. I've always had a job since the age of 10. And you might say that's child cruelty, but I just say that it's just a good work ethic. I had a paper round when I was, do you remember paper rounds? Do you remember them? Flipping heck, £8 for 7 days work. And because it was in a newsagent's, you'd spend the first £2 before you left on the pick and mix stuff. I remember that. Age of 14, I ended up working on the Wigan Outdoor Market. No one should work on the Wigan Outdoor Market, whether they're children or adults. It's a scary place, and then ended up working at a few different... But when I was like in my teenage years, I did some labouring. Do you remember when kids and students used to labour? Do you remember that? They used to do stuff like on... So if you've never done labouring before, it's fantastic. So you mop out buckets on a building site. You clean, you're scrubbing the floors of all the dust for another person to come in and make it dusty again. So that's all you're doing. And you're okay. I remember I was on this building site once, and the plasterer guy, the guy I was working for, he's still a mate of mine, was like, Ben, I've forgotten some equipment, and I need you to go and ask the next plot over, house 33, because they were new build, can you go and get it for me? So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go and get it for you. No problem, mate. What is it? And he said, well, usually I would put everything in my van, but for some reason today, Ben, for some reason today, I don't know why, but today, I've left it at home. I just need you to go and ask them for it. So I was like, yeah, sure. Of course, I'm a labourer. I'm not sleeper. So yeah, cool, I'll go and labour. So he's like, yeah, okay. So I was like, what is it? And he said, Ben, I've left it at home. I need you to go and get me a fallopian tube from the next plot over. And I was like, fallopian tube, no worries, because I didn't know what a fallopian tube was really at that point in my... I'm still not sure what it is at this point in my... So I went, I said, yeah, sure. I said, thanks. So I went over to the plot, the next plot over, and I said, hey, mate, my name's Ben. I'm from plot 43. It was like, oh, hey, I know the guy. Nice to see you. So I was like, thank you. He's forgotten something because he usually puts everything in his van. But today, you know what I'm saying? Today, I mean, it was a busy day today, but today he's forgotten it. So could he borrow something from you? And he was like, yeah, of course. I know the guy. I'll borrow you it. What is he looking for? I said to him, have you got a fallopian tube? Because he forgot it. Do you have a fallopian tube? To which he said, do I look like someone who has a fallopian tube? And at that point, I realized what was going on. I went back to the house. Everybody laughed. I have low self-esteem. There's a happy end of the story. Walking back, I was like, why was I made to go through that? Why? But we all have these situations in life, and some of them are not very nice. Some of them are pretty tough. There's a great little bit in the story that we've been looking at over the last sort of few weeks, and I don't know about you, but I love our senior leader. I love the ministry he brings on stage. Come on, someone can agree with me in the house. Bringing great stuff every week from his life. And he's been bringing this story about Joshua. God says to Joshua, it's time to go to the promised land. I said that Moses should have done it, but it never happened. And so we're going to go again. And in this time, you're not going to cross an ocean, but you're going to cross a river. And so we're going to go again. It's the same, but it looks different. And what happens in this story is Joshua translates all this information, and he speaks to his people. So I want you to turn, if you've got your Bibles, to Joshua chapter 3. If you have your paper Bibles, can I say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you've got to, if you've got a screen version of the Bible, I just want to say, what's up, homie? Nice to see you, bro. Yeah, down with the kids. So Joshua 3. If you're there, say, I'm not there. Come on, you got to do better than that this morning. Say, I'm not there. Joshua 3. It'll be on screen for you if you haven't got your Bibles on you. It says this, then Joshua addressed the people, sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow, God will work miracle wonders among you. Joshua instructed the priest, take up the chest of the covenant, which is a big holy box, and step out before the people. So they took it up and processed. Before, you don't really hear that word much, do you? Processed. I don't think they processed, like, and this is a really important moment in my life, I just want to process it. I think it was like processed, like a horse would down a posh person's lawn. Take it up and processed before the people. And God said to Joshua, this very day, this is what I want you to remember where you're sat. This is what I want you to remember. This very day, I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all Israel. They'll see for themselves that I'm with you in the same way that I was with Moses. Is anybody glad today that God's with them as he's been through the previous generations? Anybody glad in the house that God's never left you or forsaken you through thick and thin, through up and down? There better be more response in the room because I have been marinating this in all week. And I want you to just note something, that God is always doing two things in your life. He's always trying to get you to somewhere, and he's always helping you through something. There's a paradox in your life. There's a go to the promised land, but there's also a go through. There's a go through the river, Joshua. And even when the Israelites got on the other side of the river, they had to sort out Jericho, Ai, and battle their way through. Even though they were in it, they still had to fight for it. So I love the Bible. I do. And it's a phenomenal book. But do you ever read the Bible and just go, eh? Did you ever do that? I'm sure people listening on podcast are the same, although I'm sure they're the real holy ones listening to a Sunday message on a podcast in the car. Yeah, I see you, bro. I see you driving on the M6. That's prophetic. Like, hey, I read this sort of story. It's one of my favorite stories. And I just thought, I don't get it. So God tells Joshua to go to the promised land, right? He says, but you've got to go through a river, which makes no sense. Okay, let's just be real with each other, okay? It makes no sense. The Israelites were liberated from Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves. What did slaves do in Egypt? They built things. I don't know if you've seen the stuff that the slaves in Egypt built, okay? They built things that are going to last longer than your new build home. They've still got the pyramids, this thing. They've got loads of stuff going on. And so God could have said, like, okay, I want you to build a bridge. Build a bridge over the river because you can do it. It's easy. Or boats. How about that? Build some boats and just sail across. It's easy. But no. Because God makes everything such easy work. He says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to go through it. How interesting is that? Why would God make him go through it? It makes no sense at all. There's a story that I read to my child. Two of them now, actually, because the youngest one's old enough, and it's called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Have you seen that? Yeah? Okay, so, wow, some people clapped more than when I'm saying thank Jesus, like, oh, yes, great, we are going on a bear hunt, metaphorically. We're going on a bear hunt, and it's a great book, right, because it charts the journey of two very neglectant parents taking the children on a bear hunt, and so they go on a bear hunt. And it goes like this, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. Psychotic, eh? What a beautiful day. We're not scared. And then they hit a load of different things. So they hit, uh-oh, grass. Long, wavy grass. We can't get over it. We can't get under it. We've got to go through it. Swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy. We're going on a bear hunt. Oh, we're going to catch a big one. Can I just say, can anybody just phone the socials on these parents that are taking, no more, the children on a bear hunt? Like, just go for a walk. Hey, Hall's up the road. You just go up there for a nice walk. Oh, we're not going to catch a small one, kids. Oh, no, we're going to put you in the very fringe of danger. We're going to catch a large one. Oh, it's going to be a brown bear. Oh, and it's mating season. Ah, run away. We're not scared. You're not scared because there's something going on in your life. You need freedom from drugs or alcohol, mate. I'm telling you. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. Who says that? We're not scared. uh-oh, a river, a deep, cold river. We can't go. Thank you. We can't go. We've got to go. Splash, 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 splash. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-oh, mud. Thick, oozy mud. We can't go. We can't go. We've got to go. Does anybody know this one? Squelch, squirt, squelch, squirt, squelch, squirch. We're going on a bear hunt. And it just did time and time again. Snowstorms, deep, dark forests, a cave. And then when they finally get to the bear, they realize it's a bear, and they run away home. And they get into the covers as one big family and said, we're not going on a bear hunt again. If you go on my Instagram, there's a link there to Amazon, so you can buy the book through me. I make £4 every time, so that's fine. It's affiliate marketing, if you don't know what that is. There are some things in life, my friend, you can't get over. That person that betrayed you, the hurt that you carry because of something that happened, you just can't get over it that quick. It's not that simple. And there are things that you just can't get under. There are things that you can't deal with quickly. That might be a sickness, or it might be a personal thing you're trawling your way through. Sometimes there's a complicated answer to a simple problem. There are things that you can't get over sometimes. There are things that you can't get under sometimes. So what does it force you to do? It forces you to go. I'm going to encourage everyone in this room that today's message is God is the God of the go-through. There is a get-to with God. There's a get-to. There's the Joshua, there's a promised land. There's a mate, there's a career for you. There's a relationship you're going to get to. But in order to get to there, you've got to go through something. There is something you've got to work your way through. Now, why is it that when you and I are going through something, the longer we are in that thing, the more it becomes about that thing? Isn't that so weird? We're going on a bear hunt, but yet you hit mud. And you're making your way through this sticky mud. But yet for some reason, it's taking longer than you thought. And so what you do is you start off at the edge of the bank and you say, God, I'm going to my promised land. Woo, I'm going. It's great. Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it. Oh, come on. I see the... Oh, man, this mud is a lot thicker than I thought. Oh, this is a lot more. Oh, me quads. Oh, my quads. Oh, and this is getting so... Oh, it's getting a bit deeper than I thought. Is this bear hunt really worth it? Is this bear hunt really... Is this really worth the effort? Oh, thank goodness. Oh, I made it through that. Brilliant. Right, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big... I'm not going to do it again because it's really annoying, I know. Some people think the podcast has skipped, you know, and this guy just keep moving. And you hit your grass and you hit the forest. Suddenly, it doesn't become about the promised land anymore. It becomes about the pain you're enduring. God, why would you make me go through this? God, why do I have to face this all the time? Oh, God wants to remind you today that God isn't just the God of the get-to, the promise, the future. He's the God of the go-through. And it doesn't matter whether you're in mud or grass or a snowstorm. He's with you. And is anybody glad in the room who has maybe a relative that's sick, or you're sick, or you're going through something, that they're not doing it alone? They're not doing it alone. And so it might be the hardest thing they've got to deal with, but I'm telling you now, the Spirit of God is working in that situation, and either you choose to see it and carry on, or you just throw in the towel and say, oh, I'm going through some stuff. I just want to end up in the shadows where no one can see me, and I actually miss out on the future that God intended me to have, because this is too... I am actually out of breath. It's too difficult. And the problem with that is this, is that the reason why God doesn't just want you to get to somewhere, he wants you to go through something, is because it shows you who he really is. If we actually look at what Joshua said before and what God said before, is this, I will make you great. in the eyes of everybody. I'll make you great. So Moses was the dude before Joshua. I don't know if you know who Moses is. He's got a big beard and he wrote 10 things on a piece of stone. You might have seen him in Exodus or whatever, played by Christian Bale. Not sure how true that movie was. So, there's a few boos in the room. Okay, we'll move on. Noticed all the Message version of the Bible readers didn't moan. Do you know what I mean? It was like just the ESV version. That's fine. So we're in this situation, right, where God's like, okay, the promised land's here, but you're going to have to go through it. And God's like, but listen, I'm the one that's going to make you great. Imagine if they built a bridge and some boats. Imagine if it was easy as that. And they got to the other side and they thought, do you know what? God has done nothing for us, even though he has years ago. They just got a short memory, like fish. It's actually Joshua. Joshua's the real guy. Josh, he's the God. Let's make him a deity, which was the standard thing in those days. But instead, what God did is he put them in a position where they had to trust him just enough so that they knew that God would have to do something. And when they got over to the other side, they walked through the river, what did they do? Dave said over the last few weeks, they built an altar as a reminder that, man, God is with us. God is with us. Okay, I'm going to bring this to a close in just a minute. Bitterness grows when we don't continue to move on. How many people do you know are still complaining about something that happened to them 15 years ago? What a waste of a life. What a waste of a promise. And suddenly they got stuck in some mud, and it became about the mud. If I could have the band up, I want to pray for you in just a minute. I think we're all chickens, right? Thank you for some sound effects there. Everybody, whoever did that for the podcast, there was a burk, burk, burk. Thank you. We're all chickens, and I think God knows it. Let me ask you a question. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to? That's right. Great joke. It's been around for a long time, okay? Why did a chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. We're all chickens, and we're all just trying to get to the other side. That is basically my theology in a nutshell. We're all chickens trying to get to the other side. And we always talk about the other side. We always talk about the promise. But what about the road? What about when the chicken stood in the middle of the road? I want you to consider this, because in a minute we're gonna sing together and the band can begin to play. But I want you to think about this, right? The Father, God the Father, because we believe that God is three, God is one, three in one, sort of like a pack of socks you get from Primark. They're like individuals when you pull them out, but they're actually together. There's another theological depth for you. So the Father, Son, and Spirit. So we have the Father. The problem is the Father couldn't get over what we were doing. Because he can't. He's perfect. He's true. He's holy. So he can't get over it. It can't happen, and neither can he get under it. It's too complicated for us to fix it ourselves. So God had to go through it. He can't get over that what we're doing is wrong, and how that wrongness separates us from his goodness. And he couldn't get under the fact there was no quick fix, that he can't leave it to us to try and sort it all out, because we never do we? Never do it. So he had to do something in order to get us through it. So he sent his son Jesus. And his son Jesus was the person who lived spotless and in absolute surrender and perfection to the will of his Father in his life. And in order to set us free, he had to go through a river. He had to go through the mud. He had to go through. All those listening to the gallery, I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear this. There's a reason why the cross happened. You're the reason why it happened. And I thank God every single day that He doesn't need to get over what I do. He doesn't need to get under what I do, because He's already gone through it. So when He endured the cross, and the nails went into His hands, and the thorns went into His skull, and the spear went into His side, and all the people round Him were hurling abuse at Him, stripping Him half naked and tossing coins, dice, to try and see who's going to get His clothes. When Jesus was on that, and then in the final moment where He surrendered His spirit, and He was like, okay, God, okay, Father, I'm coming home, I'm ready. And from that point where Jesus literally plundered hell, to the point, think about it this way, my friend. You came here today thinking this is going to be a happy, clappy message, but I want to tell you this. God loves you so much that He went through hell and back just to get to you. Come on, somebody, it deserves more than that. What are we doing? Who are we praising? Who are we standing for? It's a God who not only loves us, but is willing to go through it for us. And on the third day, you might know this story already, but in the third day, when it was all dead and buried, the stone was rolled. Their Father spoke again and said, let there be life. And Jesus walked out of the tomb, meaning that you and I, we might go through something, but it will not overtake us. We may have to walk through something, because Jesus survived death. I don't need to... Isaiah is a guy in the Bible, a really famous guy who writes about this story and references it, and it's in a book called Isaiah 43. And check it out, make a note of it, it'll be on the screen, and this is what it says. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Oh, come on, somebody. And when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I've done it in Egypt. You were once a slave and now you're free, and it's getting hard again. But let me tell you something. If I set you free, you're free indeed. You don't need to go back there, but you need to walk through something in order to get to something. God made Joshua go in the waters first. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because I can tell you categorically now that your greatest decision will be directly accompanied by your worst moment. We have it all the time where people are baptized. In fact, there's one particular person that we're standing with at the minute who got baptized and who got a really bad diagnosis just a few weeks later after that baptism. And now they're having to make some decisions and think some stuff through and wait some results. But yeah, I've just been baptized. Hang on a minute. I've just been baptized in water, clean start, and now they have to go through something. But I'm telling you now, as you're listening to my voice, either you listen to it from a hospital bed or you're listening to it now, I'm telling you that you're in the water, but you won't drown. So why am I bringing this message? Dave's getting up next week, and so we'll continue on this go again. But I wanted to say this to you, that we had first fruits last week, and some of you had amazing moments of giving and sacrifice. And this week you've had some news. Suddenly your car doesn't pass its MOT. Suddenly a family member gets sick. Suddenly you make a mistake that you haven't made for years, but now you're in this position and you're looking back at last weekend thinking, what is going on? I'm going again. What's going on? But this is it. In order to go to something, you've got to go through something. But if we believe the words of Isaiah, we know that when the deep waters are surrounding us, He'll be with us. And when we go through rivers of difficulty, we won't drown. And the fire of oppression, it won't overtake us. You know what that means? It means you will not get burned, but you'll feel the heat. Oh, this is real. This is big. This is real. But it can't get anywhere near me. Heard about Daniel in the Bible. Love Daniel. He had some friends and they went through a furnace. They tried to martyr them for the faith. And as they were in this massive furnace, they were looking through the holes on the side. And there was three of them in there. And as the people, as the king and all these people looked inside, they didn't just see three people. They saw four. And some people think that was Jesus. Some think it was an angel. I don't care. It was God. And do you know what? People are going to look into your life and see what you're going through. And they're not just going to see you and your wife. They're going to see three people. They're not, oh, come on, somebody. Do you believe God is with you today? Do you believe God has it for you? So just picture the scene, right? Just picture the scene. Because this is it. We only got 3 minutes left. And then you're going to process all this. Joshua has to go in the water first, right? And the priests. Why? Because the leaders go first. The leaders don't go first. They're not leaders. They're hypocrites. So God's like, okay, go in the water first, okay? And he's standing there and nothing's happening. Has that ever happened to you? You're like, God, I'm believing in this. Yeah, I'm listening to Hillsong music and Spotify worship all day. And I'm like, yeah, great. And then nothing changes. You're like, when you're ready. You stood in the water and the water's around you. And imagine this. Joshua's knee deep. A million people behind him. And his priests who have to carry the ark, the covenant, the chest on the shoulders. Now in the actual story, it says that all the water was gathered up in a village miles up the stream in a place called Adam. Which I think is a wonderful symbolic act that God created Adam. I don't know if you recognize this in Genesis. God created Adam. He was the first man. And so what God is doing is reminding us is that all the way from the beginning, I have been withholding waters from you. Even back then, when I made you, I said, I'll be with you. And now I'm holding the waters back at Adam. That's just for you guys who study. And so they're in the water. He's kind of waiting. And the people behind him are like, Joshua. Just so no one hears, you know, like, Josh. What? I need to ask you, I'm in the middle of something here. Joshua. Psst. Just flick some water up. What is it? I believe this actually happened, right? Because it's not just like a really spiritual thing, like these are actual people. Joshua. Why is this in the water over here? No, it's still here, and I'm getting wet. I don't know. I'm just doing what God told me to do. He said, over there is the promised land. Joshua didn't have a Wigan accent. Over the promised land. Got to go through. I stepped in the water. Splash, 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 splash. And it's still here. I don't know. Well, pray harder then. Praying really hard now, Derek. Suddenly, it's not Derek that's annoyed. If there was a Derek in the Old Testament. Suddenly, it's Jeanette as well. Yo, Joshua! Because she'd known him from when he was a kid, so they had that relationship where she could shout at him even though he was there. Yo, Joshua! What's going on? That was still me for people listening on the podcast. I just have that gift on my life of... What's going on? I don't know what's going on. God said, go to the other side, and we've got to go through the river, and as soon as we put our feet in here, the water's going to stop, but they've not stopped yet. It's not just Derek. It's not just Jeanette. Suddenly, you've got a whole tribe, 150,000 people from the tribe of Manasseh, saying, hey, what's going on? Are you not Moses? Are you not the new Moses? Come on, Joshua. I'm here because you said I should be. I packed up my whole camp and my kids are tired. One of them sick. So come on, do it, do it, do it. Joshua's feeling the heat. Joshua in this moment is about to have a mutiny. But what they don't know is that up the stream, a few hours before, God had already caused something that would make the water stop. It just hadn't caught up to them yet. So it was the right place, but it wasn't quite the right time. You need to remember that. that when you're desiring a career, when you're asking God for something big, know this, that God has done something years ago to cause that thing to happen. It's the right place that you're in now, but it's not quite the right time. So what do? Kick the ball over the fence and say, I'm going home. No. You decide that you're going to walk through it. Joshua, I don't know what's going on. Joshua, tell the water, pray more. And Joshua is literally stood in the river. Everybody, look at me. Joshua is stood in the river and he's saying, look, guys, I know the promised land is over there because God told me personally. He said that we need to go through something to get to something. And I am telling you, I know you're wet. I know you're miserable. But if we just stay here, if we're willing to go through this, I am telling you now that these waters, they won't drown us. And even though we're stood here in a mystery, he's with me in this moment right now. And this oppression, this fire, I can feel the heat, but it's not going to burn me. Because I know, oh friend, I know God is going to make me great. God is going to take me through something, but I can't be satisfied this morning. I can't be angry at God. I can't blame God. All I've got to do is stand in this moment and not give up, is raise my hands and say, though I am in the water, I'm still going to praise you anyway, because you've been so, so good to me. I was a slave, but now I'm free. Get up on your feet. Get up on your feet and give Jesus some praise. Even though I am in the waters and it is surrounding me, I know in just a moment God is going to come through. So come on, all across this place, let's begin to sing together. You've been so, so good to me.